We're teaching on the subject of meditation. And meditation has a lot to do with about doing. It has a lot to do with about doing because it does, there's no purpose in meditating on the Word of God and then not doing it. It's zero purpose. Understand, and we want to talk about, I said last week, and especially made an emphasis on the last week, because of dealing with meditation. Meditation brings revelation. And now revelation are the things that you let into your heart. Now, no matter what it is, whether it is the Word of God, or your own thoughts or ideas, or somebody else's thoughts or ideas, or the devil's thoughts and ideas, if you meditate on them, you're going to eventually let them into your heart, whatever it is, good or bad. It's going to get into your spirit. You meditate long enough. When you get to the point that you can bring things to pass quickly. I remember when I started off as a Christian, meditating on the Word of God, you know, got revelations. But till I got those revelations in me at first, you know, I used to struggle in the areas of healing. I would really struggle at it, you know, because you're setting yourself to believe and you're set. But we need to understand this. People operate in faith. The Bible does not teach that everybody's on the same level of faith. There's some people that said they had shipwreck faith. So we need to understand this. Some people said are weak in faith. Some are strong in faith. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, people ain't giving glory to God. They aren't strong in faith. You can always tell people they're always just trying to get something from God. That's where I started off. I'm trying to get it. Well, I came to the place that all I had to do was receive it. You come to that place of strength. Well, I found out then after that, I mean, I could get healed easily. When I found out how it worked and I meditate until I got it in me strong. And my believing became strong. Everybody, you might have areas of strong and areas of your faith that are weak. Nobody has, you know, people say, well, I have faith. Well, what do you mean when you say I have faith? In what? You know, there's people who have strong faith in the areas of finances but can't get healed. You know, there's all kinds of things that people, you know, it does, where your faith at? And there's one thing is I started off, I emphasized my and really God emphasized it in me concerning healing because I'd rather be well than have a lot of money. Because I tell you what, if you ain't well, you're going to need a lot of money. So if you ain't going to believe in healing, at least believe for money, dear God, because you're going to need it. So Lord told me, he said, number one thing he wanted his people to be well. It's the number one thing he wants is people well. He said, because when his people stay sick, their finances are robbed from them. Look at the money we spend in our nation on healthcare. My words, we could pay the national debt off for what we're spending on that. But you know, the areas of thinking, see, where people follow in the areas of their thinking, they're believing what's in them. What they put inside them. This is why it's meditating on the Word of God, because you're going to get something in you. And this is what happens. And I want you to understand this as we look along here. Whatever you get into your spirit, you're going to start talking. See, I've watched people with this, and I know people who are really good at getting calamity in their lives, sickness and all kinds of stuff. Because they can do it as quickly as I learned to be healed, they can as quickly bring destruction on themselves because they become highly proficient in the faith of the junk they talk. You need to understand that. Jesus said, if you believe something in your heart and you say it with your mouth and you don't doubt it, it's coming to pass. Jesus said it. There's no doubt in that. And see, I've always watched this like in the areas of people with healing and who are always having trouble. And what I do is listen to them talk. And I can always locate their heart. You see, they'll go around and say, yeah, the Bible's true. They'll quote a scripture. But what are you doing during the week and while you're talking in a regular time? What are you saying? You know. See, getting in these, and this is why we're dealing with meditation. Understand the importance of meditation. You're constantly, daily meditating on things, good or bad. And if you take things that are bad or wrong and you meditate them, you'll get them into your spirit. They will become, I don't care if you're born again. I know people, you know, they don't think much different. They're born again Christians. If they died today, they'd go to heaven. but they'll go to heaven in misery and sick and problems and this and that and the other thing because of the meditations that they've gotten into their heart. And now the meditations of their heart, the Bible talks about the meditations of your heart. Their meditations of their heart has become the thing on their voice. And it comes to pass. And I watch people come quickly. I've heard people make statements already and have watched this, and within a matter of days, it happened to them. A matter of days. They become so proficient at it. And they're the same Christian that'll argue with you about, well, this faith stuff, you know. Yet they have learned how to bring things into their life and trouble into their life by their mouth. See, Jesus said, I only hear you speak things I hear God say. Well, did he always have to have God to tell him? Well, the Word of God, he had the scriptures of his day. That's the stuff God said. In other words, that's what he got in his heart. So you need to be careful what you speak out of your heart. You become very proficient to bring problems on yourself. Very proficient. Meditating on wrong things. You see, nobody, when I look at a person who's very proficient that and can bring something to pass quickly, that didn't happen overnight. Never. Didn't happen. You know, a guy don't go into a place and shoot a place up and kill a bunch of people. That didn't happen overnight, folks. People say, well, I just don't understand. They were such a nice person. You never knew them. They had meditations, folks. They were thinking on things. And it didn't happen just once. A little bit of a thing over here. People end up doing. You need to be careful about your meditations. Why would God have said to Joshua, you need to meditate day and night? Why? Joshua just came into the, taking people into the land out of these folks that God had to allow everybody from 20 years old up to die because they couldn't say the right thing. They wouldn't shut up. They didn't meditate on what God told them. They meditate on every bad thing in the book. And God said, man, we can't get these people in here. The Philistines will kill them in 10 seconds. They're a bunch of idiots. The devil's going to own them. We've got to change something. God says, Joshua, success in that land is going to be turned on what you meditate on. Why? There's heathens in that land. Do you know you're living in a land of heathens? You better be meditating on the Word of God until Jesus gets here. Look, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, he didn't say a couple of my people ain't going to be ready. He said, many of my people will not be ready to meet me at my coming. See, I see it today. I see loads of Christians. They're just world. They're the world. They're talking the stuff of the world. They're following the things of the world. They're talking. I ain't saying they're out here cussing, swearing, anything. But their ideas and the concepts of their mind and in their heart are wrong ways of thinking. They're not thinking like God thinks. Amen. And people say, oh, you know, well, they're a good person. Yeah, in whose eyes? If you identify them as good, you better check what you be believing. You better check your meditations. See, we need to understand. He said, many of my people aren't going to be ready to meet me at my coming. They're going to turn back. People say, well, are they going to heaven? I don't want to count on it. If they're going to go to heaven, then they must be ready, I guess. God sent, you know, Kenneth Hagin's ministry, the Lord told his mother that his ministry was going to be like John the Baptist. To get his people ready to meet him at his coming. You know, see, that's what I'm called for. People like me say, well, you're called to do this. Called. No, that's why God sent me to Rhema. I'm called to get God's people ready. That's the anointing that's on me. That's the anointing, get God's people. See, today, you know, there's a need to reach the world, but many people want to reach the world, ain't reach themselves. God can't reach them. They ain't ready. And see, we know if the church gets ready, it can do anything. God can use it in any way. It's about the church getting ready. Church getting in line. We as Christians getting in line. Not trying to make the president do what we want. Not this church. See, people are praying to get the government straightened out when the church ain't straightened out. Dear God, what do we expect out of them? See, we need to get over here. And this is one thing, is meditations. These things, America, I always like to say, well, when this guy became president, this and they caused this. Look, our nation, I can look back in the period of time that I lived. Our nation was heading on this road for decades and decades and decades. You go back into to the history. You look at guys like with Smith Wigglesworth and different ones. I've read after and that, who died right in the areas of the 40s. They died during the 40s, right toward the end of the 40s, the ones that died there. Go back and read their literature. And you go back into the 30s where they were writing about how the church was turning and how they were getting more away from the things of God. See, they saw it in their time. God came along in his great love for concerning America and brought a great move of the Spirit. And look how slow, a short period of time, America's like, and even the church, like a bunch of heathens. Short period of time. See, God moves. Man gets blessed, and you know what he does? And I've learned this. I've studied, some years back, I got into studying about revival and revivals. And this is one thing as I learned about revivals. When people, God pours himself out, this is just the inclination of man. This is people that they don't grow up spiritually. And what happens, and many ministers are in this category, they follow the blessing and not God. You know, let God pour out money and people chase money. God pours this out, they'll chase that. They go after, they ain't after God, they're after the thing. They're after the stuff. And after a while, you know what? They ain't following God. I mean, you think about this. The majority of the major ministers that God used, absolutely astounding, through the 1950s and into the early 60s, almost all of them died prematurely. Well, it wasn't because of their godliness. Was God trying to steal from the church? No. Why? Because they all got out in left field. They all be following stuff, getting out into things. I mean, you take a man like A.A. Allen. God did such phenomenal miracles through that man. And he dies of alcohol poisoning. He's a drunk in a motel. How horrible. That was a gift of God to us. That's what happened. They don't think it can't happen to you. See, God moving powerfully don't make you spiritual. I ain't how it works. I don't have notes on this, but it's good. See, I want a move of God, but I don't want to become an embarrassment in it. We've had too many embarrassments in it. The church don't need good people taken away. Hallelujah. The gifts that God uses. I mean, I've watched video back in those days period, some of the most astounding miracles you ever want to see in your life. I mean, just literal miracles, not just a healing. I'm talking about literal miracles outside the ordinary course of nature. I've seen things, I watch and you just, it blows your mind to sit and watch those things. You know, and people today, you know, we're in a spirit-filled church. They're just excited about getting healed from a headache. It's like, dear God, we don't realize we in the playpen. We ain't playing in the place. You know, we're just a little bit of thing. We're, you know, just excited about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Man, I tell you what, I want to walk in that glory. See, I've seen some of that stuff even with my own eyes. I've walked in some things and seen them. And man, that's what I want. The rest of this stuff people are chasing today, I have very little interest in it. I want to get so big when men look and say, you know, that knucklehead, Ed, he couldn't do that stuff. That'd got to be God. You know, you don't have to throw me in the front. Let's throw Jesus in the front. Let's get something in the front other than people. This is what we need. We need a move of God. And it comes down to things. We've got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he exalts us. We've had too many men standing in the forefronts of big ministries today have been exalted by men. And not by God. They're heralded by men. No, we need to stop and say, hey, that's enough is enough. One thing I liked about Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin would not allow anyone to announce him in a meeting other generally than his son. And if somebody has gunned him, he would tell them. Because they would get up and say all these wonderful, great things about him. He hated that. Brother Hagin hated that. Oh, you know, he's this great man of God, this or that. He had one time and, you know, somebody went on to a little bit of a spiel and he got up and he said, you know, he said, I'm not a great man. He said, I'm just a man. I have a great God. Hallelujah. See, everybody loves this patting on the back. You know, stand up and tell him I'm just wonderful. I'm sorry, I ain't lying about you. Hey, lied about me. Hold it. We need to get past this stuff. We need to come down to the humility. We need Jesus up front. I need him. I need him. If not, it's just me. I've lived with me for 73 years. Get enough of it. Hallelujah. I threw away the first 30. I got something decent now. I'm not chasing after a guy. I'm chasing after Jesus. Hallelujah. That's who we need. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we were teaching on meditation. We want to talk about these things. We had the first psalm. I'm just going to quick read through that we talked about last week. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does prospers. The guy who day and night, his meditation in life is on the things of the Lord. It's on the Word of God, his meditation. This individual can't walk a certain walk. He can't live a certain life. See, we need to know this. Today, they teach grace. You can live this other life because of grace. You can go live things and do things. You're already forgiven. I'm sorry. Whatever your meditation, don't expect to get blessed when your meditation is in living in the flesh. Because what you're going to have is the things of the flesh. That's what's going to take place. Those are the things that are going to happen. I want to read you because the guy who he meditates, and here's one thing with me. I look at this thing, man, I want to be the tree that actually brings forth this fruit. I want to live in this place. Don't you? Don't you want to live in that place? Hallelujah. Well, it tells us what to do. So we need to govern our meditations on all the time in life during our day. How we get thinking over. It's easy to get over a problem arising. All of a sudden, you're just thinking over here in left field. Now, that happens to everybody. But it's different than that being your meditation. Thoughts can come, but you don't have to take them and meditate on them. Because here's one thing. A thought that is not spoken or acted upon can never come to pass. It won't happen. But if you keep meditating on it, I'll guarantee you'll do it and talk it. Eventually, you're going to do it and talk it. Eventually, you're going to come and you're going to start talking. It's going to get in you. And once it's in you, you start saying that thing. This is why. Govern your meditations all the time. Everybody's dealing with it. You can't stop and say, well, Ed, you just don't understand. Yes, I do. You're the one that don't understand. Everybody is in the same boat in this thing. Nobody has an advantage over anybody. Because there is nobody here. I have good thoughts all the time. Well, come up and we'll cast that devil lying spirit out of you. Get you saved. Hallelujah. We all deal with it. But it's what we do with it when it comes. Do we make it? You know, like the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What's it talking about? You get mad. Jesus, you know, talk about Jesus got angry things. Well, you're angry. Don't let the sun come down on your wrath. Why? Don't get that meditation in the night. Don't carry that thing on. Why? Yeah, you'll be mad the next day and you keep meditating on it. Then you're just mad and mad. And I know I've heard people, you know, things that happened in their childhood, you know, they're in their 70s or 80s and they can tell you what Cousin Harry did to them back when they were 7. Why? They spent all these years meditating on him. You know, I've gotten over meditating the Word of God. You know, it's one thing. I'm really thank God. There's things in my past. I have to really even sit and think about them, even if it did come to pass. I don't even know. You know, I was in Vietnam. I can hardly tell you. I can hardly bring images up in my mind in certain areas where I was at, what it was even like anymore. Why? You know why? See, guys can tell you stories all the time about everything. That's where they live. That's their meditations. I don't live there. I got saved and I changed my meditations and what's in me is different. I'm going to sit around and meditate on the agony of the past and trouble of the past. I don't want to do that. Why? One life. One life. Now that doesn't mean people can't talk, but people do too much of it. I mean, you know, I know just from my experience in Vietnam and all these guys come back and messed up. I've told ones of them, I said, you need to shut up. All you do is talk about and think about and say, that's your problem. No, you're your problem. That's all you want to think about. You want to think about, you want people patting you because what you went through. You don't want to come up and say, well, thank you for your service. Well, yes, that sounds nice, but nobody has to thank me for that. I'm an American. I got to be born and raised in this country. They called me to something they have a right to. I should stand up for my country. Not to pet me and pat me. Found out most of the people want to do that, want something out of you. No, I get all the time these things from politicians. They want to have a dinner for you and that stuff. Well, they ain't been to military. They just want to hang around you and act like they're doing something. I'm not interested in your dinner. You don't have to pet me and pat me for doing what was right. You don't call me a hero. I ain't no hero. I didn't do nothing heroic. I did exactly what I was trained to do. Nothing heroic. There's no school for heroes. You see, come down and say, we'll teach you how to be a hero. All this nutty stuff today. Somebody does their job, you know. My words. I know it's remarkable that somebody would do their job today. But somebody ain't heroes. Ain't nobody's hero. Cemeteries full of heroes. We'll take you down to Arlington. We'll show you the heroes. It's like today, this whiny people that need patted and petted all the time and everything. And the Christian church is full of it. People need it patted and petted. All the hurting people in the church. Like I heard one minister say, one of the greatest problems we have in the American church are the hurting people. Because they're the complainers and talkers and griping and moaning about other people. So-and-so did to me. I've told a person right one time, if you're so spiritual, you ought to forgive. Why are you complaining about what they did? Look what you criticize them and run them down. Oh, that's okay. Look what they did to me. I'm hurting. Man, you're going to live in this life. People are going to do stuff to you. And if you can't take it and you're a Christian, go home to be with Jesus and let the rest of us alone. We're working hard down here without having to drag dead bodies along with us. It's good preaching. No, this is not the popular thing. People don't send checks when you talk like this. That's why you won't hear it on TV. Even though, I'll tell you what, and I've sit and listened to some of them ministers personally, hear them. Oh, they'll talk behind people's backs about this stuff. They wouldn't dare say it in public because they're cowards. The Bible says the truth will make people free. And ain't sitting around talking real nice to them and getting checks. Hallelujah. Woo! Preacher's on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, I got to walk in love with people. I can keep my meditation. People do things to me. I can't get over and get out into the, go play some other game. You got to walk in love. Doesn't matter. People come, people go, whatever happens, you have to learn to do that. No matter what they do. You get yourself all tied up in it. What it ends up, it hurts you. You end up thinking about it all the time. It drives you. And ain't bad enough. The devil just torments you with it. Don't want to go there. I want to go to Proverbs, very familiar scriptures to faith people in Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Because it talks here about it. And this is dealing with the areas of meditation. Don't use the word meditate, but it's exactly, you can see what it's talking about. And what it says in verse 20 of Proverbs 4 says this, "My son, give attention to my word, incline your ear to my sayings." Give attention to the word. Incline your ear to my saying. It says, "Do not let them what depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart." See, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in. You know, we need to understand that, you know, from the scriptures, the Bible talks about Paul prayed the prayer for the church of Ephesians and told them about the eyes of their understanding. Wasn't talking about the physical eye. In other words, you're the things that you're seeing. You know, the things, I've learned this over time, the things in your mind become just as real as the things that you see. You get a person with mental problems. You know, people say about, you know, somebody has hallucinations. And I said, that's just as real to them. You can say they didn't see that. But in their mind, it's just as clear as if it happened. Yet the event never happened or never took place. But they saw it. It's real to them. You can say anything you want. But it's real to them. And we need to understand this. See, you get yourself over to where you're don't let your eyes depart. You want to keep this thing real to you. You want to keep the Word of God real to you. You keep that before. Keep it in the foreground. In your meditations, you want to do it. It says, keep them what? In the midst of your heart. You got to get them on the inside of you. You got to keep them there. It doesn't say, well, they're going to go there and just stay there. I've watched people who have started off on right. They walked in places of God or in their spirit. Man, they did things. And over time, they get away from it. And in years past, after a while, they can't produce a thing. In the same areas, God used them powerfully. But they can't anymore in their life. Why? They didn't keep it in the midst of their heart. Is listening to this because as we go on and read this, listen what it says. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now it says health. Also, many translations say medicine to all their flesh. And it is correct because this term that's used here could literally be translated medicine. It's medicine to your flesh. The word is, they're life to you. The word is life to you. It's health or medicine to all your flesh. I remember as a young Christian hearing Kenneth Hagin talk about it. He said he meditated on healing scriptures every day. See, he took medicine every day. Shall I tell you what? I've learned this. The big failure of the average Christian in healing is because they don't ever get into the word concerning healing until something happens to them. Well, you're already behind on it. I don't care if you know what it says. If Kenneth Hagin knew a lot about healing, he knew how to get healed. He knew how to do things. Yet he said every day. See, I listened to him. He used to tell stories of things that go on, but you had to listen to pay attention to how they happened. Listen to what he did, because you don't do what he did. You know, he said he was never quick to just up and pray about things. He was not quick to do that. He would meditate on the word. He talked about an incident when his daughter was in school at the time. He was out on the field ministry, and his daughter, a growth started growing in her head. You know, there was an outward thing out from the skull, but it started growing on there, and his wife called and said that he needed to pray about that. With him. And he said this. He said, I didn't pray right away. He said, I didn't pray right away. He said, I was in meetings, but he said in the afternoon, he said, I come back to the meetings. He said, I meditated on healing scriptures and I meditated. He said, that night, he said, I went to bed and he said, when I was in bed, he said, later I started meditating on healing scriptures. I was meditating on this. Now here's a man probably quoted every healing scripture in the Bible just from memory. He didn't just jump and pray. See, this is what we're doing. You know, fix me immediately. So I can quick get off and go follow my flesh some more. I want to feel better so I can go do that. He did. He said, now this is his own daughter. He said, because he said, when I release my faith, I want to bring this thing to pass. So he said he meditated during the night. He said he woke up a couple times. He said he set himself to wake up a couple times during the night and he meditated during the night on that. And he said the next day he prayed and that thing disappeared. You see, we don't do those things. We have our meditation on the lump. That's our meditation. Our meditation is on our problem. And the words of God are sideline. You know? They aren't the thing in our meditation. Our meditation is in the problem. And I learned this from him. You don't always be just so quick and just blurt out a prayer. See, I've learned how to do things to bring in healing quickly. A lot quicker than other people do. And other people get by learning to do that. Learning to stop. And meditate. Set yourself. Know your own spirit. See, people don't know their own heart. They don't know if they can bring it to pass or not. This is the average Christian, it's like setting up a dartboard and throwing darts at it. You know. You know, and it has this one little spot off to the side that says, yeah, healed. But we're throwing darts and trying to hit that thing and we're all over the place on the board. You can't do that. See, the word of God is supposed to be used accurately. Accurately. And you can't use things accurately. You know, when I first started off as a Christian, I was amazed how many things that God did for me in healing. And he did some really miraculous stuff. When I look back, I always have to laugh. I thought, my God, he did that. That wasn't my faith. I was just walking as close as I could to understood. But he was doing that. I can't stop and say, man, I had great faith in that area. I didn't have great faith there. He was doing nice to me in spite of me. But you know, I can't do that today. I can't do that. I meet Christians all the time doing, I don't understand. With a younger Christian, I get healed. I can't get healed today. I say, yeah, because your faith is still younger Christian faith. God ain't going to let you just play there. You can't play there no more. You have to grow. You got to meditate. Yeah, but I can quote healing scriptures. I don't care. So can I. I can get sinners quote you scriptures. I was a sinner and I quote scriptures. more than some Christians knew. I don't make it work. Hallelujah. It's when it's what's in your heart. Like Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. It's what's in his heart, he spoke. What was in him, he spoke. That's how it came to pass. You know, it's an amazing thing with the disciples. Always amazing. Jesus come. They sat under all his teaching. Wasn't the left or his left. He died. They got on the ball with it. A guy don't even hang around Jesus all the time, knew he could cast devils out in Jesus' name. And disciples didn't know they could do it. Cause you're hanging around somebody that's spiritual don't mean you know a thing. You can't rely on that. It's about you. Amen. Hallelujah. Those guys, he gets out in the boat to get a storm and they're out there wailing. He said, he got up and rebuked them for their little faith. In other words, why didn't you speak to the storm? They watched him do all this stuff. Yeah, well, it's the big preacher. Let's follow him and send the checks. It's going to get on me. I want getting on me what God has. Sometimes the anointing on a man, you go hang around it, you can get that anointing. But you have to respond to it, and you have to respond to it by faith and by the word. You got to know what it says. You got to get it in you. Another thing, you got to be called to it. People don't know what they're called to. They don't know what anointing God wants them to have. They don't, and they're out here wandering around today. And it's like, this is where meditation is such a blessing, because revelation of God. You know, we were talking about knowing him, singing about that today. Knowing him. That's how you get to know him. Look what he said. Verse 23, after making those statements, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. That word issues really translates sources. The source of life is out of your inner man. So you keep that heart. You keep your heart. You. He didn't say God's going to keep your heart. You keep it. It's in your hands. You decide. God don't decide what gets in my heart. God gives revelation that I can put in my heart if I desire. But the devil will give revelation. All kinds of people will give their revelation and they'll give it, and you decide what you keep in your heart. God does not. God gave you the perfect vessel. You know, when we look back at Proverbs and those guys, they didn't have the perfect vessel. They still had the sin nature. You and I have the most fruitful ground that could ever be to put the Word of God in. We have the born-again human spirit. If anything could produce something, your spirit can. What happens when you put the seed of the Word in your spirit? See, that same ground will produce the devil's seed like that too. That fruitful ground will produce miraculously whatever seed you put in it. You put the wrong stuff in it, it'll come past by. It'll grow up in you quick. Folks, that's why. He said, keep your heart back yonder. Today, keep your heart. Watch what you let yourself go over. Watch what you run around and confess that you believe. And you ain't got a scripture in the world about it. Oh, people do that all the time. Now, I know I'm probably the only guy that ever did that, huh? Said things, you know, make quotes. One thing is I learned a lot. Boy, I'll tell you, I check the scriptures before I quote even preachers, because lots of times they'll say things sound really nice, but when you look at scripture, it might not be true. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said, you go look at the word and see if it says what I'm saying. You look. You're responsible. You look. So do that. Now he says something you're supposed to do. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and a perverse lips far from you. Why? Faith in your heart. You start speaking. You get wrong things in your heart. You speak. Another thing too. Your speaking will turn around and put things in your heart. See, you keep walking around saying bad things about stuff. Don't be surprised. It gets in you. See, meditation's about muttering, speaking, saying. See, it's saying, and here, what's he telling us to do? If we want to get on this path where our inner man is pumping out this life in us all the time, that's pumping life. See, you have the Holy Spirit. Where's he at? He's in your spirit. That's where he's at. Are we allowing him to pump his life out into us? Same spirit raised Jesus from the dead's in us. Same spirit. He's giving life, but are we letting it go out? Or what are we doing? Are we putting the cork in the bottle, you know? Say, hey, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm talking. See, we need to look at these things. These things aren't stuff that's bad for us. We are doing this one way or the other all the time. The hard part for people is this. You mean I got to live my life and walk every day and think too? That's what most people's problem is. They're living a thoughtless life. That's their trouble. They're living thoughtless all the time. Walking around, whatever comes along, they're saying and doing what everybody else is saying and doing. And that's it. This is just about living a life with thought about what you say, what you're doing. That's what it's about. Now, I grew up in a household and in a religion. They thought a lot about it. They didn't go around talking all the crazies. They didn't try to find out all the time what the world was doing about things. They didn't do that. Today it is. See, today we carry the world in us. We call a phone. And it has every junk thing you can think in the world can be in that thing and on that thing and online and everything else. And we're carrying it around with us. They didn't have that back yonder. And they had no desire for it. They had no desire for that. They had their lives that they lived and they did. They're very honest, good people. From what they understood of the word, I could say this. They kept it. They kept what they knew. You know, I went to Rhema. When I got to Rhema, got around them out there and that stuff, and some people in the church, even leaders in the church, I told them, I said, you know, you guys may know more about the word than we do, but the people back where I live, I said, they live better lives than you guys do. They live better lives. Now, you make a lot of quotes and you got a lot of things, but they live better lives. Well, I can't say back here today, I can't say that's so good. Back yonder, but they did. They lived better lives. They were more moral people. They were, you know, much more trustworthy. You could count on them. You know, a lot of those people. It's one of the things. There's a lot of admirable things. I'll just say this to you. You know, if you take the difference, like I've watched spirit-filled people. You know, sort of like make fun of the Mennonite people and the ones that wear their coverings and things. And they're like, we're more spiritual. We don't. How come their kids are so much better than our kids? You take Mennonite people. You never walk in and see a Mennonite people in the store, and they can have five kids, and their kids ain't nutty crazy at all. They walk around with their parents and that stuff. Oh, and here comes the spirit-filled people. Oh, Lord, God. Yeah, and I know what spirit they're full of, too. And they'll come along, and their kids are all the time, get away from this. Don't get, leave that alone. And there's people ain't ever doing that. They're walking around the store. Now, they followed the scripture. Train up a child in the way it should go. It didn't say teach up a child. You go to school, they don't get, understand, your kid don't get no training in school. There's no training in school. It's all teaching. They don't make them do nothing because they can't. You're not allowed to. The teachers are the ones that need discipline. You know, you got to be disciplined on how to try to solve a problem without strangling the kid that needs strangled. There's no way to change behavior. You can't change people's behavior. You can't do these things and not have, you can't do it. It will never work. Never work. You see, you train a child. In other words, they train their children. See, at home, their children. You find this out. Your kids will act outside like they act in the house. You don't expect to take them someplace and be a different kid. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we went places with parents, you know. We knew mom and dad said, don't do that. You know, they don't kill you in front of the people. But you dread the rest of the time that you're there. I got to go home. I got to go home. You didn't kill us or murder us, but you learned. You don't do things. You went to people's homes of respect. You didn't get anything. You didn't take, pick up and do anything unless they said it was okay. You didn't do those things. There's no respect today. There's none of that kind of stuff. None of that. People just get into anything under the sun. Don't matter. I had a Rhema graduate one time. He called himself a preacher. Was in my house with his. He had two boys. I mean, I knew he was a heathen because his two boys were the biggest heathens. These two little kids, they were monsters into everything. We're sitting there trying to talk. They're trying to get into everything in the world that you ain't allowed to have your hands on doing, want to mess with your stereos, they want to do all this stuff. And Wanda's telling me, sit down, shut up. And finally I stood up and I grabbed the two boys and I said, if you two don't stop, I'm going to grab your daddy and throw him out of this house. And he just sat there and looked. Oh, come here boys. And I told him, you will watch over. He sat there the whole time and never said a thing, like them little heathens. He didn't care if my wife had to chase around after his kids. That moron. You see, this brings shame on Jesus Christ. This is a shame on the gospel. I thought, every person that ever meets him, it's like spitting on Brother Hagin what he taught. Because this guy ain't none of it. It's all full of quoting scriptures. But I know what his heart's full of. Evil. Wickedness. I know the meditations it's in him. I know it's in him. Because he's acting it out. He's walking in the way. You can't keep walking away without it getting in you. See, you can have a good heart and turn it into something bad. You and I have the most blessed thing. We got a new one. Hallelujah. Now, what are we going to do with this great cherished thing we got? What are we going to do with this wonderful thing? Well, hallelujah, I believe you folks want to do something different. You don't want to follow the same way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But understand, we're dealing with people. We're trying to get people fixed out here without training. Just, we're going to pray, it's going to change, we're going to do this. No, it's not. We're lying to people. We're lying to Christians. It takes diligence, it takes work. Why do you think he sent a drug addict to rehab? They want to send him to a place where somebody has a little control to try to teach him to do something else. They don't teach him about God, nothing. You know, he gets over there, just the devil's teaching the devil over there. But, you know, but nonetheless, at least they have the thing right. The church is not a rehab. The church is a place where you all feel comfortable and you cute little things. And nothing can change. People need to know. See, I had to change.
Amen.
Ask my wife. I needed to change, ain't I? You know, you don't arrive for a place where a person has walked in for years and has, you know, whether it's a man in the business world or something there. You don't come out of a business school and go jump to where that man is in life. It takes time and work. You don't deserve what the man who owns your business, what he has, you don't deserve it. You didn't work for it. He gets to pay you out of all of his labors. What some of them people have put into in life and how much they have sown and neglect their own life. And they're working 100 hours or more a week to do it. And some guy comes along and works 35 and thinks he ought to have what the guy got. And that's Christians. The world don't even think you ought to have to go to work. He's meddling now. That's what he's doing. He's meddling. Ponder the path of your feet. And let your ways be established. You ponder how you walk. See, it's the walk of your life. Ponder. Think about it. See, we don't have to. Everything's quick results. See, that's America. We want instantaneous gratification. Instantaneous. Now you got to ponder. Think about things. You start thinking about stuff. People, no, I want an answer tomorrow. Well, you ain't going to get one. You know? If somebody calls me and say, hey, this great thing's here and you just have today, you know, this, that, I always tell them, if it's only today, I ain't gonna even consider doing it. I said, unless an angel appears or Jesus shows up and says, go ahead and do it, because I ain't going against the word, I'm gonna ponder my path. I don't believe this. When a person comes along and when something has to be done right now, it's usually wrong. Gotta do it right now. Success is practicing the same thing, the right thing, over and over and over again. The guy, he used to, years ago, he's dead now, he used to do all these, speak at business conferences and all that stuff, and you could go to his meetings and stuff, he would have them on businesses and stuff, but also dealing in the areas of your own life about how to do stuff. And this was years back, and Carnegie. Carnegie said this. He said, the only thing that I know, he said, that will make you a success in life is find out the right thing to do and then just keep doing it no matter what. That's what people don't want. Americans like change. They like even their church. I want every service to be a different thing. It's all got to be. Sit down and just teach me. Make me sit here. I already know the scriptures you said. Well, if you already know them, why is your life so stupid? Ha 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 ha. people do that. If I can't do it, I don't know it yet. I really don't have a full comprehension. And there's nothing wrong with it. You might not, but it takes time. It takes time and it takes practice. You got to practice at things. And this is what meditation's a lot about. You know, you might be trying to change a lot of things in your life. You know, it's like I came out of a family of worriers. You know, my mom was a worrier. My dad didn't. And she used to drive her crazy because he wouldn't worry, but she worried enough for the whole community. But she worried about every little thing. Like I said, she won the, you know, six Olympics in a row. They got the Warriors trophy. She got the gold medal. We had them sitting in the house there. They had the gold medals. She could just worry. She knew how to do that. Well, see, I came out of that when I became a Christian. See, a lot of things in life, a lot of things that people do in life, they don't realize it's because it worries fear. That's what it is. And people don't realize how much they do because of fear. And you told them it was fear, they'd be mad at you. No, it is. It's fear. I had to overcome. When I got to be saved, I just didn't get to get a renewed mind and be enabled to. Fears would try to come back. These things would try to come back on me. I learned how to, through the Word, to combat it. I learned how to set my meditations on things of the Word and start saying. And I'd say and say what the Word would say. And I was saying them. And I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't believing it. I was saying it, but I'm trying to get, because why? I'm trying to turn this thing around. And I'm saying it, and I'm saying it, and this thing's vital against me. But after a while, you know, I got onto this thing, and I realized, see, Jesus said you can have what you say. You keep saying something, keep saying something, keep saying, talking the right way. See, many people, they think because they said something, that was faith. It ain't faith till you got it in your heart and spoke it. It is not faith. They teach you stuff wrong. Me making a confession isn't faith, unless it came out of my spirit and I believed it. I can make confessions of things I don't believe and they don't happen. Not, thank God, not everything I say came to pass. Dear Lord, have mercy. But see, we teach this, and it's wrong. It's wrong. It isn't biblical. It's what you say that's in your heart. Once you get it in your heart, you need to understand the power is in the heart. Once somebody believes it and doesn't doubt it, they can bring it to pass, good or bad. Good or bad, it's getting it in you. Making confession. I see people all the time, Christians, well-meaning people, good people. They make confessions about things and they can't get it at all. They've never got it in their heart. They're making the right confession and they're walking around believing if I'm making the right confession. No, most of the confession that I do is trying to get things in me. I'm walking around saying things because I want to make sure I want that in me. We're in a battle. I want to make sure I'm standing on the right ground. I'm going to war against something. I better know how the gun's loaded. Mm-hmm. You know, we grabbed the gun, ran outside, and didn't have any bullets, and the devil dropped you. Hallelujah. This is why it's dealing with meditation. We meditate to get it in us. Many times you're saying things and saying things. You know it's true, but you don't have it in your heart to bring it to pass. You got to know that. If you don't know your own spirit, you're in trouble as a Christian. You know, most people, the average Christian operates out of their mentality. That's where they're at. They're in their mentality. I've learned how to bring things to pass out of my spirit while my mind is giving me trouble the whole time. My mind, but I know what's in here. I know what I'm saying. And my mind's saying, you're insane. Do you think this is going to work? Don't you see I don't feel good? You shouldn't do that. But inside here, on the inside, the guy on the inside is like, shut up, we got this thing. If you can't tell the difference, this isn't some kind of weird stuff. Look, too many people have listened to too much wrong teaching for too long. They listen here and listen there and listen to this guy and that guy and people are saying things. But you got to know, lots of times you're just trying to get it. This is where it's confession. This is why meditation is about speaking. It isn't because you're so, what would you need to speak it if you already believe it? You're muttering it, saying it, getting it into you, getting it into. Let it get revealed to you. It's like the light comes on. I could have quoted you, by his stripes I was healed, you know, a long time before the day revelation came. I was healed. Hold it. They've taught me that I'm supposed to try to get healed. You know, I'm trying to get... Hey, I was! Oh my! If I was healed, then I'm not trying to get healed. I already was. I'm supposed to believe I'm already healed. Oh! Oh! But But you know what? I can quote that scripture like crazy, but I didn't have a revelation of it. And most preachers ain't got a revelation of it either. They just say it in a sermon once in a while. You know, they throw it there in a sermon. You got to meditate on these things. You got to have meditations on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Verse 27 on it says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your feet from evil. See, our part in this is in meditation. We're meditation and then walking in light of the revelation. You got to do that. It's of no value if you don't. You say it and say it till you can do it. Meditate till you're able to walk in it. There's nothing wrong that you stumble along the path, along the way, learning this stuff. That's no biggie at all. God never yelled and screamed at me because I was trying to learn something and wasn't doing good at it. He didn't do that. Now, he did sometime. He showed up and he got downright ugly with me a few times. Because of not walking in the light, I do. If you don't ever get ugly with you, it's because you don't know much. And I'm just going to be straight. God will deal with you. See, God and I are friends. I know him, and I know this. He sure knows me. I mean, he knows a lot more about me than I know about him. Hallelujah. But see, I believe, I've said this so over the years so much, and it's come to pass already. I said, if I'm getting off track, I said, God will either, Jesus will show up, an angel. If God has to send somebody from over halfway around the world to come and tell me about it, God will correct me and get me back in path. See, God's allowed to correct me. I gave him permission. Have you ever given permission to correct you? Mm-hmm. Amen. That's why people don't stay in churches if you start correcting. Mm-hmm. Because most people don't want correct.
Amen.
Like Jerry Seville, he said in all his years of pastor, and he said, all the years I've been pastor, and he said, I can guarantee this. Whenever I teach on the areas of commitment and things like that, he said, we always have people leave the church. Always. He said, I know that. When you're going to teach it, people are going to leave.
Amen.
You teach people their job to do, they're gone. Because a guy down the street will tell them, hey, you don't have to do nothing. Just give me the money. You're going to be blessed. We're going to sing Come By Yon. We're going to have a great time together. It's going to be wonderful. And the devil will kill your kids, and you're going to say, it's just going to be really nice. Your kids are going to go off, follow the devil and stuff. People fall because I want to think that I'm obligated to. They're stealing with me. I want the do it all God. Well, he has done his part all, but I have to do all of my part. Hallelujah. I don't always crazy about that, are you? No, my flesh is not always excited about the Bible. It's yours. Mine isn't. It isn't always excited about what it hears. It says, oh my God, we got to deal with this now. My flesh is here. And I'm saying, you got to shut up. This is right. God wants to bless me. God, you know, everybody say, I want to go to a higher level. I don't know how to go a higher level without passing the test on the level you're on.
Amen. Preach.
It'll never happen. God is not like schools. He never lowers the bar for anybody. You can't say, well, I came from a bad background, so I'm excused. I can't. God don't do that. He expects the same. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know why? Because he wants something better. He wants to put you in a place. He can reveal himself and bless you more and more and more. That's just what it's about. It ain't trying to get at you. And he wants to bless other people. He's looking for somebody to go the whole way with him so he can do something wonderful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We want to help people. In Psalm 49:3, I'm going to read this to you. It says, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. You see, the meditation of your heart. See, get over here. Things that you even know in your heart, meditate on those things so you can begin to practice them and do them. Get strong into practicing and do them. Get the meditations of your heart, meditation on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we talk about, you know, day and night. In Psalm 77:6, David said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He said, I meditate within my heart and my spirit makes diligent search. See, he's meditating. He's searching on the inside. Searching on the inside. What's in his spirit? See, one of the nice things about it, and I find this at nighttime. Lots of times nighttime, you know, I'll even wake up in the night and God will speak to me about something at night. Why? Because you get quiet. And you're more conscious, I can be more conscious of my inner man. See, I go to bed thinking about things. See, you decide what you're going to think on when you go to bed. You know, you decide that. You know, your problem the day or whatever happened. If that's what you chose that, you can just choose what you think on. You know, and one thing I have, sometimes going to bed, I have to force myself to think on the things of God, to meditate on the scripture. But you know, I'll meditate on, you know, you're having problems. God's helping me. So you get meditating on the fact of His greatness, His goodness. You get meditation on that. But see, don't go to bed. Don't go to bed fighting worry and fear. You'll wake up in the night and the devil will be right there to bring it right back to you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You'll get up in the morning and right there it is.
Yep.
In the morning when I wake up, I'll tell you what, my heart's toward God. I've learned I can keep my heart toward God. I wake up in the morning, my heart's toward Him. See, in these quietness. Now that's not, maybe, you know, it's different with you. Another place I have, I don't know why God talks to me in the bathroom. I'm in there shaving and doing stuff and I don't ever get that. But lots of times there's certain things that we do in our own practice of life. You might have a different thing, a different way. That we get silent on the outside. And we become more conscious. I don't believe God talks to me in the bathroom. I believe He's been talking to me. I just catch it in there. You know, I think a lot of it is. I've learned this over time. You know, people say, you know, this happened to me and God didn't ever speak to me about this. And I say, you know, yes He did. You never listened. See, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just going to criticize anybody. I've been there, folks. But see, you gotta learn to make the right confessions. There's one thing is this, there's nothing in my life that deals with me or my problems in my life, anything dangerous, anything coming up, God won't talk to me about it.
Amen.
But see, you can't have that if that ain't your confession. I didn't start confessing that yesterday. See, I confessed that so many darn times. God, no matter what I mean, God will always talk to me. God will show, God, He's there. He's interested in me. He's just as interested in you. But, you have to think about, see, but now I've got myself, I can walk in it. When a problem comes, I've learned the first thing you do is turn to my heart.
Amen.
I don't, oh, we got to do this or this is wrong, then we got to take care of this, we got to do all this stuff. No, I've learned the first thing you do, look on the inside.
Yep.
Look on the inside. But see, that meditation and saying those things, put that in me.
Amen.
I'm nothing special. It works the same way for everybody.
Amen.
If you don't have it, it's because you didn't work it. See, there's things I don't have because I didn't work it. It's the same for everyone. This is nothing special. Everybody's living these things every day. Everybody is living out of their meditations. Everybody is. We're living out. I thank God. I mean, I didn't start off good at this. I thought, my God, you're ever going to get right at it. But you know, over time, it's like I would look at these guys. It's like, you know, and I always speak of Dr. Cho. He said, no matter what situation I'm in, I'm in a meeting with world leaders. My heart's always turned toward God. And I thought, I want to get there where I can, my heart's dominating and not the situations that I'm in. You know, I read that and I knew God was talking to me in that. But I didn't come to any of that for years. I kept marching toward that. I kept saying things and getting things in my heart. I thought, you know, God's no different with that man than He is with me.
Amen.
See, when you sit down and think some minister special, you just knocked your feet right out from under you spiritually.
Amen.
God is not special toward people. The things that God will work in my personal life, He'll do to anybody. He might anoint me to teach. But living life, the things in my living life, it's the same for everybody. It's not different for anyone else.
Amen.
Because I'm a minister, I don't get special privilege in it. In fact, I'm held more accountable than you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't got no complaint whatsoever.
Amen. Preach.
Amen. This is good preaching,
that's
folks.
Great preaching.
See, we need to know this. See, people think, well, I'm that preacher. He has no. God expects more out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, you can thank God He don't deal with you like He does me. My God, people quit and just in this place where they are. Well, what are you going to do? You have to, God expects more out of you.
Yeah,
amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? The gift to me, He has a right to expect more.
Amen.
He gave me something great.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine what He was ever thinking when He called me to be a carrier of His word. Dear Lord, He could have definitely, I always thought, could He find somebody better? Dear Lord, I could line Him up a crowd. But He chose. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to read this in Psalm 119 and verse 23. It says, princes also sit and speak against me. He said, but your servant meditates on your statutes. I want you to see. I'm gonna read you another one here. In Psalm 119 and verse 78, it says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they treat me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts." You see this practice? It's a wonderful practice. This is what they're doing to me. This is what I'm doing. My response to people coming against me is to meditate on God's word. You see, meditation is, what are you going to do? What are you going to think on? What are you going to meditate? You're going to meditate on something. See, he's telling us what to do. The scripture's telling us what you and I need to do when people come against us, things start happening. He said, what do? These guys come against me. I meditate on the word. Oh. Amen. I meditate on what they said and go tell other people what they said and what they did to me. And I did. This is my meditation. We have here what to do. See, these are good practices. Get with these scriptures. Meditate on these things till that becomes your practice.
Amen.
See, and walk around and say, you know, when trouble comes to me, people say things, I meditate on the word of God. I'm not going to meditate on what they're saying and what they're doing. That's not going to be my meditation. Why? Because you're no better than them. You may not go and say something ugly to them, but you're going to think it and get it in your heart. You're going to always think about how you'd like to choke them. You're always going to think about what you'd like to do to them. Say, dear God, please use me as your vessel of wrath. Oh, hallelujah. I like Psalm 119 and verse 99. It says this. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. See, Brother Hagin used to tell us that we ought to go further than he does.
Amen.
See, there's revelations that I got in Scripture I have never heard anybody else teach. It don't mean that they never taught. Somebody else didn't know them, didn't teach them. But I wasn't taught by other people. I was taught by the Lord. God opened up things to me, meditating in the Word, spending time and studying the Word. Things were open to me and I saw that. Well, I never heard anybody even talk about this. Really good things from the Word. And there they are. Hallelujah. See, don't be limited by your teachers. If you're limited by your teachers, that's your fault. Thank God. Now just think, we send through kids now just think about this. We don't naturally act in this way, but we expect spiritually to operate like this. We send kids to school, send them through to college, we come out, we expect that's all they're going to know in life is what they got there. I said, people in church, they said, my job ain't to give you everything.
Amen.
But see, this is what we've done in the church world. We put lazy people in the pews. And we've done it. Put them in the pews. Because they think they ought to come and get everything they need and want. No, you're not. And any man's a liar that says anything different.
Amen.
It's unscriptural.
Amen.
It's not scriptural. You don't get everything you want. God ain't going to make you lazy. It wasn't, Ed, you ought to study the word. Ed, you ought to do this. Ed, you ought to do that. I mean, all of you, if you get just as far, then that's it. You're done as far as I learned. You go to my, I'm going to tell you what, I get around ministers and that stuff and I think, my God, this one thing I've learned. To have a big church, you don't have to know much. You're going, I know ministers, man. They can hardly, you know, walk across the street by themselves. They're so stupid. They hardly know a thing in the Bible or things about the Bible. They got big churches. It's like a guy told me one time, he said, in 2 years, he started a church. 2 years, he had 500 people. And he said this to me. He told me this personally. He said, you don't have to be spiritual to have a church. He said, I got 500 people in my church. He said, I was backslidden. He said, I wasn't walking with God. And he said, I was a mess. But people packed in the church. Well, so I think they like it because, you know, I can feel comfortable here.
Amen.
I feel comfortable here. See, but we measure everything, you know. It's like when I was at Rhema, we had a regular instructors, but they used to have sometimes certain people who worked there at Rhema would minister to us. We had this one lady on the areas of prayer and that stuff because she headed up a lot of the prayer stuff at Rhema. But she said about this, she went out then later in field ministry. She used to do a lot of traveling overseas and Bible schools and stuff and things like that. She did. But she said, she made this statement. She said in Tulsa anymore, she said, your spirituality is measured by your wealth. How much money you got. That you're spiritual. If you got a lot of money, then you're spiritual. You know, God dealt with me in this fact. a lot of in America. One of the great things we deal in the American, whether it's the regular people in America, whether it's a church or not, the love of money is driving most of what's going on today. Mm-hmm. It's the love of money. Money is why people do things. Mm-hmm. Much of what we do, it's about from a money standpoint. And we need to be careful. We need to deal with this fact. Why we do what we do in our ideas. I mean, I've always said about it. Paul went and told the church, he said, no, I'm full. I have enough. You know, I'm blessed. I got plenty. I'm good. I said, man, when would you ever hear a preacher say that today? No. They never have enough. You never get enough. It's always enough. Well, they've been, you know why? They've been trained. I hear it from the time I was a young Christian. You can never do enough for God. And I always think about it. God set up a system that this idiot made a system that I can't carry it out. I can never do enough. I can never see. It's the guilt Christianity. Yep. You can never see. I can never pray enough. God made a prayer life you can't ever fulfill. You know. See, these are nice religious cliches made by stupid people. Think about what you talk about and what you say. Because you know what? Many Christians live guilty. I can never do enough. Kills your faith. You're over here believing, trying to believe God for something. And after a while, you know what's good? The devil's coming. You ain't done enough. Oh, no. No. If you'd have done a lot more praying last week, he'll just rob the faith right out of you. He'll come and steal whatever he can. And this is what people do. Because they fall for all these, which I call cliche Christianity. All these things that are said that are just downright stupid. You can never do enough. You can never, you can never do enough. What am I supposed to do? How can I ever read and study the Word? I'd have to just pray all day and pray and pray and pray. Outside the Word, you don't produce nothing. But you should go ahead and do it. And see, this is people. This is what we get caught on. See, in America, because we have this, it operates in this manner. This is what we do. It's like the fad diets and all that kind. A new thing comes along. Everybody jumps and do the new thing. And this one thing is going to change your life. You know, it ain't doing what the Bible says to put the knife to your throat. No, I'm going to get this thing. Well, we have a fad. The next thing it comes along, and see, the church does it. I watch church do it. The next fad comes along. I remember, you know, they had a book that came out, the Prayer of Jabez. I don't know if you remember that. It's years ago that came out. Prayer of Jabez, this book came out. Well, the Prayer of Jabez, I mean, there's a revelation thing there said about faith, but the book come out. And all these are making a big deal about the Prayer of Jabez. And I remember his ministerial group. One of the heads said, oh, this book out and this is it. And I said, you couldn't even write a book on just what Jabez said. And I said, what Jabez said in there, do you think this book of Jabez is going to change the church? I said, you can't take one thing, and this is the big key. I said, I have sat through this, and I have listened to people do this, and I've watched all this new, I got this new revelation. It's going to change everything. It's going to funnel. I have this big money funnel, and it's going to funnel. That's the big change. It's going to go from that guy over here to me. This is what it's going to do. But see, people do because they want to follow and do. And I watch it. I said, I'm going to guarantee you. I said, by next year, I said, you won't even remember that book. There's a new one coming. There's going to be another book. And that's exactly what they did. They would just come to the new thing, to the new thing, to the new thing. But you know what? People love that. People love it. When I was at Rhema, Rhema students wouldn't go to Brother Hagin's meetings like Winter Bible Seminar. They said, I heard all those stories. They'd say things like that. I'd tell them, say, you ain't ever heard them once. I said, it wasn't about stories, it's about a revelation. And you ain't got it. It's not a story, it's about a revelation he got. You know, you look at Brother Hagin's, the majority of his major visions that he had that didn't have to do specifically with him, but the church, all of them had a revelation in them. For the church. And he's supposed to get the church ready for the return of Christ. And the Rhema people don't even teach them. They don't teach those revelations. They don't teach them. You think we don't need to get ready for Jesus? We don't teach them. We teach other stuff. They teach a lot of, and it's, other stuff is okay, it's good. But we should be making emphasis, especially today. There's things in those revelations that are so lost in the church, they ain't got them. You know, we think Trump's going to change America. I'm sorry. The devil's running American government right now. If you don't know how to deal with the devil, forget it. And the church don't. They don't know how to deal with the devil. We're emphasizing all these things and all this stuff. And we need to get ourselves back over, get our meditations back where God can reveal himself to us and realize our great need for change. We need to change. Say, God, change me. You know, say, God, why don't you change Biden? And God's saying, why can't I change you? Say, God, I need changed. I need to be different.
Amen.
God, you have a right to change me. I need to be changed. Hallelujah. If you need to rebuke me, go ahead, rebuke me. I need to be changed. God rebukes the ones that he chastens the ones he loves. I know there's a lot of Christians. God must not love them because they don't ever get chastened. Well, what am I supposed to think? I read the book. No, he's trying to chase them. They just ain't listen. They're just rebellious children. Think they're good. No. See, this is an... When I was in school, we had chastening. When I was in school as a kid, we had chastening. And you know what? Why were we so ahead of the rest of the world in education? Now, literally true, third world nations are ahead of America schools. Third world countries. They just lowered the standards again for entering college. They just lowered the standards again. So now if you have the brain of an amoeba, you can get a degree. The dumber you are, you know. And here's, that you're going to be chosen for college? Well, you have it better because whatever race you are, just don't be a white guy. But just be whatever else you are and any other sex or whatever it is you think you are. You're ahead of the class. I mean, the government will give you money. They'll all jump on board and they're all good. It's nothing to do with education at all. It's not about education. They've left it. See, the devil's in it now. He's destroying this stuff. People don't even recognize it for what it is. They don't see what it is on the thing. See, this is the stuff we're living at in this nation that we're at down here. That's why somebody got to know God.
Amen.
Somebody got to get over here and meditate. Can we get something from God? Not be moved by what they're doing this stuff out here. They have all this stuff going on out here. I'm amazed. But people, well, they're complaining about what is. It's not a complaint. It's about doing what's right. Hallelujah. Walk in what's right. Hallelujah. We're going to close right there. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I want us this morning, though, is get yourself in the ideas. We're talking about this meditation. And get yourself, you know, quiet yourself today. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And look on the inside of you today. Look on the inside of you today. As you're there quietly, and looking on the inside. What's going on in the inside? What is in the inner man? See, that's where the Holy Spirit's at. He's on the inside. He's on the inside of you. He wants to reveal things to you. See, you might be going through things in discomfort. Well, the Holy Spirit's not in there bringing you discomfort. He's not doing that. See, many people say, I want peace in life. Well, I'm sorry. Jesus said in the world there's tribulation. There's trouble in the world. So, peace is not something that happens on the outside. But on the inside. See, can you reach in here today on the inside? See, on the inside of me, there is a peace that passes all understanding. And that peace will guard, it says, will guard your hearts and your minds. See, if you let that rise up in you and get big, whatever situation you're dealing with, let that what's on the inside rise up in you. Put your meditation on that what's on the inside, that peace that's on you. You know, maybe you're in a situation, somebody said, well, you know, that can't be turned around, that can't be changed. No, look on the inside. Peace won't tell you that. Peace will give you an answer to things. But see, first you got to come to that peace. Let that peace, let it rise up to you. You might not be able to do it as well as you'd like to, but let that thing till that peace comes to the place it can start to govern your thought.
Amen.
That the decisions that you're going to make are based on that peace that's in you. It's down on the inside of you. That peace, that rest that's in you. See, the Holy Spirit's not in there stirring up, trying to make you nervous, make you worried. He's not doing that. See, God will always lead you to faith and something to respond to faith. Why? Because He wants to bring something to pass. Peace. Peace rising up in you. After a while, things, you let it do it enough. You know, sometimes during the day, you just need to stop. Things are going to just stop. Take a little time to rest in peace. Just close yourself away. Look on the inside. The trouble's the problem. What's the one on the inside bringing up to you? Hallelujah. See, He might be correction to you on something. He's not beating you up. He's just going to say, you know, you need to know something else. See, don't be one of these people like this. You know, anytime somebody says, you know, they're not doing something right, they're hurt. Well, people are like that to God. Don't be like that to God. On the inside, let that rest in peace. That passes all understanding. See, the scriptures before that talk about making your requests be made known to God. See, when you make your request known, then what are you supposed to? Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. See, that's what you want to do. See, there is the faith prayer life. The prayer of faith comes from a place of peace that guards your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. See, that peace rises up. Thoughts will come from the flesh to try to tell you something. Oh, say something. But you know it's going to come. Your meditation will yield over to that peace and rest today. Peace and rest. Oh, you might be thinking today all the different things that have to be done. And I got to do this and I got to do that. Oh, I go through that. I think, man, I got to get this done, that done. This has to be done, this has to be. And you know what our first thought is? Well, you know, I ain't going to have time to do this with God. I got to get this done. See, and I found out you got to take time, come over to this place. Stop and say, God, you know all that I need to do, and I don't want to do it alone. I don't want it to be just Ed doing it. I want you to help me do this because you got wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have it for me. Have it for me. Hallelujah. There's some of you been looking for an answer. I'm just going to say this to you. It's in you. Your answer's already in you. Amen. You might not grasp it right now, right this minute, but it's in you. Hallelujah. Why? Because God's in you. God's in you. Hallelujah. That peace, that rest. Glory to God. There's nothing sweeter than better than that. Hallelujah. See, the scripture says God gives His beloved rest. See, this is the way you want to go to bed with that silence, and on the inside of you, looking at that peace on the inside, on that meditation of your heart, rather than the meditation of what's going on around you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let what's inside of you get bigger. And get bigger and get bigger. Hallelujah. It'll govern your heart and mind.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank You. I thank You this morning for Your precious people. And they are. They're Your folks. Hallelujah. Nobody else died for them. Nobody else brought it. Nobody else could save them. They're Yours. Hallelujah. And Lord, I know this for a fact. No matter how we get and what we do, You're always trying to turn things around. You're always trying to bless. That's just the way You are. You're just downright good. And I thank You, Lord God. I thank You, Lord God, that You're working mightily them. And again, Lord God, good work You started in them, You're bringing it to completion.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And You started a great thing. And it's working in them. Lord God, they're seeking after You. And You said if they would seek, they'd find. If they knocked, it'd be open unto them.
Amen.
I thank You for revealing to them. You're showing to them. I thank You today, Lord God. You're revealing to them that they don't have to worry about anything. Hallelujah. That they can rest. They can trust You, and You will do beyond. You will go beyond the comprehension of men and men's ideas and what people think, even your own, go exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine or think.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. According to the power that's working in us. And Lord God, we're coming in contact right now with that power that's in us. Hallelujah. That great power that's in us. Hallelujah. That great power that's in us. Doing more than my mind can comprehend. Hallelujah. What a blessed God. What a blessed God you have. What a wonderful God you have. Hallelujah. He's working mightily in you today. Hallelujah. See, doesn't put a smile on your face. You get the meditation in the right way. So you could have distress, but you know you can't help but smile when you get over there. You know what? It's like you couldn't breathe real well, and all of a sudden, oh, I got a good breath. Oh, that was good. I'm breathing good now. That's what it's like. See, you get over there. Meditation brings life.
Amen.
It brings life to you. It's not a drudge. It's a blessing. It's not a hard thing. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For working mightily in them. In the name of Jesus. Father, I know this in my heart. This week, some are going to take a big step. They're going to catch some things you've been trying to reveal to them. And they're going to get a hold of. They're going to see it. Lord, things they've had glimpses of are going to come very enlightened to them. Hallelujah. To see and know and understand. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's all there on the inside. It's right there on the inside, and it's coming forth. It's coming forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just give yourself to it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good.